This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. Boy, it's great to be here in Arizona where it's sunny and warm, and it's really a bummer if you're in another state right now where it's cold and freezing. But anyway, last week I talked with Gene Landers and Jacob France. Gene, I've known for 5 years here in Arizona, and he leads a men's group. Interviewed his wife about a month ago, and you can hear her story on the broadcast on blazinggrace.org or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And Gene is leading a men's group, I believe, on the west side of Phoenix. And then we have with us also Jacob France, who is nearly 75 years old. And Jacob has been attending Gene's group for around 6 months now. And I'm blessed to have both of you here. Thank you for coming back, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So I was told about a conversation about being a strong Christian. So I'm going to let you lead what that was about off, Gene.
All right. Happy to do that. Jacob had been in our group maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And one of the things we do in our group, it's based on grace but also truth. And Jacob was saying, all this time I was doing this porn and doing this and that, he goes, but I was a real strong Christian. And I just looked at him. I said, no, you weren't. And it kind of stunned him. And he's just paused. And he's like, you're right. I wasn't. Because that's something we do. We can compartmentalize it and think because we're going to church, tithing, leading a group, what have you, that we're a real strong Christian. And that's not following Christ the way we're supposed to. And I know it's hard, but it really startled Jacob, and I think it helped him. Would you say that?
No, it did. It really, I mean, I went home and I mentioned it to my wife that we'd had that exchange, and I was convicted even more to realize that I'd been living falsely, and I confessed faith. I mean, someone pointed out to me, and here's a word picture, and would you invite Jesus to watch porn with you? You know, so someone said that, and I was like, because he's there watching us in all we do. You know, God is omniscient and all knowing. So it just like, would you invite him? Because he knows, and if we're claiming to be a Christian, and we're claiming to be a disciple or a follower of Christ, that's what we're doing. I mean, we're doing porn, and it's a demonic stronghold. With like Jesus is there in the room with us, and since I've that image to me is now like, I mean, watching porn to me, I know it's so strong, the power of the grip of the enemy, but that alone keeps me from watching, even thinking about it. The demonic.
I've heard Christian men say things like, I'm just watching it once a month. I'm not hurting anybody. What's your take on that, Jacob first?
Well, I'd say they probably aren't being entirely truthful, because a lot of times I think people want to downplay it, you know, how much, when they say, well, I'm just watching once a month. But that not being said, it could be true and they're watching once a month. I don't think it's – I think it's just the fact that you're watching it. I mean, you're allowing – it's demonic. I mean, the people that are in that industry are being used and abused and trapped in many cases. So you're participating in a demonic activity that is like staining your soul in ways that we don't even know. I mean, why even take that chance? I mean, every time I read the scriptures that talk about sexual immorality, there's so many of them. It's listed, you know, like it, you know, like Galatians 5 when it talks about, you know, the sins versus the gifts of the Spirit. They're always sexual idolatry, you know, sexual sin is, I mean, it's just so repulsive to God that why would we even think that way? And that's coming from someone that would have tried to downplay it, or I would just wouldn't admit to it. I'd probably just wouldn't say anything. If I was in many Bible studies and men's meetings when a topic like that came up, and I'd never admit that I was doing it. But now I'm free to tell anybody, and I've spoken in some groups and some large groups and talked about my testimony. So,
Gene, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Jacob that if someone says, I only do it once a month, it's kind of like the person when the cop asks them, have you been drinking? Yeah, I had a couple. I used to think I bought Starbucks once a week, but when I did an audit, I was spending $150 a month on Starbucks. I think it's the same thing, but let's say that's true. They're watching it once a month. From my personal experience, from the studies I've read and the men I've helped, it escalates. You know, our enemy is patient, and you keep doing it, and there's a point where it's going to escalate. You're playing with fire, and it'll escalate to not just more and more, but different. And then it'll escalate from just looking at videos to, I've heard guys' stories, to prostitution, to massage parlors, to just infidelity, multiple affairs. It will escalate, and you're lying to yourself or in denial that you think it's not hurting you. Mm-hmm. It affects you. It affects your work. It affects everything about you. It's hard to be 100% present with your kids, with your wife, when this is part of your life. Mm-hmm. And so many men have told me that I just started out a little bit, and then they regret that they didn't stop then.
You said that your group is about grace and truth.
Yes.
How does that play out? What does that look like?
That looks like, first of all, we talk about grace to the guys. You know, what we share in the group stays here. And I go, I tell them that the shame and their pride is probably what kept them from coming. But once they decide to come to the group, many of them are still covered in shame for weeks and months. And sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. I've also been in some groups where there isn't a truth part of it, where it's just all grace. I had I co-led a group, and there was certain couple of men coming to the group. Every week they were acting out, laughing about it, because God will forgive me. He forgives me. There was one couple, him and his wife were in ministry, and he was sleeping with her sister and her best friend, and he would laugh about it when he would come to group. Well, I was co-leading at the time. The other leader was a good cop. I was the bad cop, and I would confront him on it because grace alone, a lot of times that will help men, but there has to be truth. I know a lot of guys who say, well, I've confessed my sins, but they didn't truly repent. That means repent and go the other direction. You may stumble, but you have to have someone holding you accountable to grace, encourage you with grace, but accountable to the truth.
Mm-hmm. You use the words that some men are covered in shame for months. How do they drop that load?
I think that is one of the hardest things to do. A couple things we do in our group. We picked out 52 verses of who we are in Christ. And I can personally say that I didn't know who I was in Christ for only till about 2 years ago, because the shame I carried with me my entire life was that God hated me. He didn't choose me. Why does it matter if I even try to beat this? Because it doesn't matter. I'm cursed. I mean, that's how bad I felt about myself. And that kept me there and kept me there. But just exposing myself to more teachings on grace and walking, getting out of the cesspool, even was for weeks at a time before I slipped. But those slips, instead of 3 weeks, became 3 months. That became 6 months. That became a year. That became 3 years. And just realizing that shame has been nailed to the cross. Mm-hmm. This is easy to say, easy to talk about, but that's one of the hardest things to get rid of, and only by the help of the Holy Spirit can we do it. And part of that is surrendering to the progress and realize this is going to take time. But I believe you can recover from that and your new identity in Christ. If we know how much Christ really, really loves us, what it cost him, it can help you get out of that dungeon of shame. It's hard. It needs encouragement. You need to be face-to-face with brothers in Christ who struggle with this, who have struggled with it, to encourage you and speak truth of grace into your life. I think that's one of the things that keeps men trapped for so long, the shame.
Mm. Yeah, I use the words never underestimate the power of shame. Mm-hmm. Mm. So if we're coming down on people and saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, it's like, I know I shouldn't. Show me the way out. So, Jacob, give me a couple things that have been helpful to you in participation in this group, Gene.
Well, we have a workbook. We have a workbook that we use that's helpful. Obviously, the scripture, the camaraderie of the guys, just as a group, we do interactions and encourage each other to call someone. If we are in a position of falling or of desiring to look at porn or anything like that, so we encourage people. And I've gotten some calls from some guys. I've made a couple, quite a few actually, but just to encourage people. We do encourage each other. So I think it's that band of brothers in this case that's helpful. I've seen quite a few guys come and go during that time, it's a short time of 6 months. That I see that the power of the addiction, men that come in ashamed, wanting to change, and then they just can't do it. They can't commit to it. I also wanted just to point out, I mean, the betrayal that my wife went through, when we realize what we put our wives through, it's not about us. It's what we put them through, and that we start getting better, but then they're just starting to deal with it, and there is help for that. And like Gene's wife has a group, and there is help. I just wanted to point that out here on the broadcast that there's help for the wives, that's a very important part of the recovery, of course. So I think that's been a big thing for me and my recovery, is the fact that my wife, once getting over the initial shock, the initial betrayal, and dealing with that, it's a progress. It's not, it takes time. I mean, they say, I think it's Gene, you say it's like somewhere two plus years that it can take just to start getting back to, like, if you, it's a new normal, if you want to call it that, in your relationship. The things we do to our relationships with our spouses, they take time to repair it, because there's some deep wounds that happen, of course, when we do these things. So seeing all that, it's just been a miracle to see it when it's working, and hearing some of the testimonies from guys or from Gene and other men that have been able to overcome this by the power of the blood of Christ.
Gene, Jacob just used the words, he's seen quite a few guys come and go.
Yes.
What's that about?
I think they weren't ready. I think back in my first time joining a group, I went through the motions, but I really wasn't ready to submit to this process. I was doing it for my wife, thinking, okay, I'll do this, but my heart wasn't into it. So from every guy I've seen that doesn't make it, they weren't ready. And I've seen guys that weren't ready come back a couple years later, and they're ready. And it's usually because the consequences became tougher and tougher and got worse. I use a term, I think you taught me this, Mike, but shallow forgiveness. We're commanded to forgive, but that doesn't mean if your wife forgives you, that doesn't mean there aren't consequences, whether she decides to divorce you or you're kind of on parole for a while and you put yourself in this position. And if you sweep that under the rug, like, oh, I forgive you, I'm sorry, shallow forgiveness equals shallow healing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're commanded to forgive, but there's still consequences. But if you will lean in as a couple and into your own healing, and wives, you need healing from this betrayal, God can use you as a wife, as a couple, because it's a tsunami out there that is just, like Mike said, up to 70% of Christian men, 40% of Christian women. The talks I've had, too, with our youth pastors, that over 95% of the boys in high school and 50% of the girls in high school are doing this.
With you leading a group in this area, do you experience much in the way of spiritual warfare personally and with your wife?
Yes. A lot of spiritual warfare. And that's something you've helped me. Had to really change the way I pray, just my whole prayer life, and getting a covering of other people praying for my wife and I daily, but we experience it. You come home, you know, you're tired, exhausted, or something like that, and he's ready there to condemn, point the finger, cause disruption in your marriage. But, you know, I grew up as an athlete and playing sports, and sitting on the bench wasn't fun. No challenge. You didn't get dirty. You didn't get bruised or cut. You get in the game, you're going to get beat up. You're going to lose some yardage. You're going to gain some yardage. And it's tough. But you train and train to become victorious. That analogy worked in the spiritual warfare of things that we don't see. But it's real. We can overcome it. But you need help with people praying for you, getting alone with God as much as you can, and as a couple, and fervently pray.
When you shared your story last week, you used the words, when you're still going through the recovery process, you had not dealt with the root issues. What were the root issues for you?
Once I learned about addiction, I realized that, you know, porn addiction, sexual addiction is one of the, if not the hardest addiction to break. And addictions, porn addiction actually changes the brain chemistry. You do a scan of a brain on heroin, and you do a scan of a brain of somebody that's been addicted to porn for a while, they look about the same. You have to, there's a period of detox you got to go through. But you can reprogram and you can create new neural pathways. That takes time. So I think the root issue of me was just the devastation of the being molested from my mom, mm-hmm. my dad not around or wanting me, family members molesting me, and just shamed my whole life. Every time I thought I had dealt with that, it was just another room. You know, it's like a 100-yard touchdown drive. It's 1 yard at a time. Because I dealt with the fighting, the drinking, all of that. But this was a hard one. Mm-hmm. And that root issue is just, I used to accuse God and get mad at God because I wasn't getting better, and how could you, as a 5-year-old, year old boy be molested and beaten and treated like this. But I had a dream one night, and my mother was molesting me because I used to ask God, where were you? And in my dream, Jesus showed up with a dream, and he covered me and my mom up with this beautiful blanket. I think of Joseph's coat of many colors. It was something looked like that. And he had one hand on my mom and one hand on my chest, and he was weeping. That really spoke to me. He was there. It's just he was there when his own son was on the cross, bleeding and being tortured for us. That was a huge stepping stone for me.
When God showed up and touched you.
When God showed up and touched me.
So the Christian life is more than just about head knowledge, right? It's about a real encounter with the living God.
Oh, it is so much more. I love to study and stuff like that and learn how to defend my faith. I have about 7 arguments I can use to do that, but that doesn't mean anything unless I have an intimate walk with Christ. And one thing I've learned too, you can't have an intimate walk with God, with Jesus, if you're living in a cesspool. Mm. You can fool yourself, but you're not. Mm. But that deep intimacy, time of prayer, and as you have suggested, Mike, get away, go out to the desert by yourself, get some time alone with God, and ask God to search your heart and listen to that still, quiet voice.
Jacob, last week you shared how your wife walked in on you while you were viewing pornography. How did that affect her?
Well, it devastated her, Mike. Clearly, it was a surprise. I mean, to put it mildly, and my denial, I started going into denial about it and started to lie about it when she was asking me questions. But and just seeing that, you know, really experiencing that betrayal, seeing it, it really hit my heart in a way that nothing really ever has in my life like that. I'd never want to hurt her again. And just the compassion she had for me as well, that, I mean, of course she was angry and upset, and it changed so much. But in spite of that, because of her strong faith and her desire to follow the Lord first, it's been like a rocky road, but just progressively getting better, you know, every day. So it's because doing the work. It's like when I came to Gene's group, you know, he talked about you got to do the work. I mean, this isn't, you know, you got to do the work. You got to stay clean with, and if you do have something, you got to confess, be honest, you know, don't try to cover anything up. So it's just been, I'd have to say that it's impacted me. I really have the compassion I have for spouses that have been betrayed has changed tremendously. I just didn't realize how much damage we do.
Mm. 30 seconds. Gene, anything you want to say?
I just thank God for this program and that there is hope. And I just, again, want to encourage you. I can't say it enough. Wives, husbands, men, women, don't brush this under the rug. God is knocking on your heart to some men out there. Reach out. Call into Blazing Grace. Get some help. It is available, and you can experience true freedom. Rebuild your marriage, your relationship with your kids. It is can be done, but you have to make that move.
And your men's group meets what, weekly?
Our men's group meets every Monday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. We currently meet at our church campus, and they are very supportive of it. And we go through different programs. The next one we're going to do is, I believe, your 8-week course to freedom. Some of the courses are too long, and I'm learning a lot, but that's the next one we're going to do. So get help. Seek out.
All right. Thank you, Gene and Jacob, and thank you for joining us. And you can listen to the first broadcast of this interview with these two men on our website, also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.